Hallelujah. Open to Romans 8 for a moment. I'm going to be talking a little bit tonight. I don't know what the title is going to be. I just know the direction to start. And a few verses here. John the Revelator said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then, the way we use, well, I was sure in the flesh that day, you know, and you talk about a day that you lost your temper and, if the car went flat. So we tend to think along those lines on a day when you and your walk is pretty good, you're in the Spirit. And on a day when not so, you're in the flesh. And when the Bible uses that term, though, in the flesh, it means something quite different. And Dave did an eloquent job again on the Born Again Trail. I'm re-listening to all those, and I'm just, Mark, are you stunned? Anyone that's re-listening to those 10 years later after, because we've grown. I mean, thank God. But I'm going, when did they add to these messages? And they haven't. It's just you're able to hear more now than we were able to hear then. So he did an eloquent job. But I think a big part of what's going on right now is God trying to get across to us who we already are. The work has already been done. He was saying it one way this morning, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I love the illustration that Mark gave, and it's a true story. It was on the internet. That doesn't mean it's a true story, but this one is. It was on the internet. The guy out there in California somewhere living on a street with a push cart, and all of his belongings are in it. And his brother, who was quite wealthy or well-to-do, had died and left this fortune to him. And nobody knew where the guy was. So a private detective was hired. It took him a while to track the guy down. And even after he tracked the guy down, had to convince him that it was the truth, Hey, you have an inheritance. You have all this wealth. It's already yours. I don't know how much time went by. That's perfect illustration. We have this inheritance. We don't even know who our brother is, really. Well, we kind of know who he is, but we sure don't think we're very much related to him. And we're not sure really what he thinks about us, And we're exactly pushing around a cart living on the streets compared to what God has for us in every way. And I'm not talking just financial. I'm talking ministry. I'm talking anointing. I'm talking fellowship. I'm talking healing. I'm talking everything. So line upon line, precept upon precept, many of the messages that come forward here has got to do with who we really are. The detective that's been hired is the Holy Ghost. He has found us. And now he's reading us the will. He's trying to get across to us. We have a brother who has died, and he has left us a fortune. Just listen to Mark's message again. I'm telling you, it's good. It's good. Well, in Romans 8, when Dave was going through the Born Again Trail here, one of the phrases that he kept hammering on, because people use it out of context all the time, those that are in the flesh, those that are in the flesh. And so in fact, for context's sake, we'll start in verse 1 of chapter 8, because it's not very far till we get to it. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, and here it is, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh, here, how many times have we seen that phrase, cannot please God, but you, now here's the definition. It's not when you have a bad hair day. It's not when you lose your temper day. You are not in the flesh. Well, how does he know that? He didn't see how I acted today. No, it's not even talking about that. It's talking about who you are. you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit, that should be little s, the Spirit of God, dwell in you. Now, to define that Spirit of God even closer, he says, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, should be little s again, he is none of his. How many of you are his? Let's back up. How many of you then have the Spirit of Christ? How many of you know that Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of God? Hallelujah. You're not in the flesh. The term in the flesh, the way it's used by the lawyer Paul, if you'll allow me, in Romans 8, when he's using that term in the flesh, he's talking about sons of Adam. When he talks about in the Spirit, he's talking about the offspring of the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, with that thought in mind, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, the whole species of Adam. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Now, you ought to, what's important to get there is it does not say no Christian. He says no man. I could understand it. For a long time, I couldn't preach this because I didn't understand it. I'm going, I can understand how you can say that about a Christian. Because Christians aren't in the flesh. Christians aren't of Adam. But how can you say that about Joe drug dealer on the corner? You know, he says, we don't know any man after the flesh. We're going to get into that. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's the same old creature. He always is, just forgiven now. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was back in the regular church. Huh? I'm sorry. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. And I could go on and on. What he wants to drive home tonight, who are you? You still in the flesh? You in the Spirit? What difference does that make? You know, how does that affect the price of bread? I mean, okay. How does that affect your daily life is what I'm saying. Go to Luke chapter 3. Right near the end of it. The Bible talks about the first man, Adam. Talks about the last Adam. From God's point of view, up until Christ was born, God had only made two men. God made the first man, Adam. God made the last Adam. His spirit was conceived in the womb of Mary. And he was not procreated by natural childbirth, so he did not have that sin nature on the inside of him. Going back to the first Adam, that's why God told him, he says, now, I want you to, replenish the earth, be fruitful, and multiply. He could have said it this way, I made you, I'm not making any more men, now I'm telling you to, you go make people. You can see that here in the genealogy that they list for Jesus. Now, we know on, what's that song? On my mother's side. Anyway, okay. Now, we know on his father's side, who's his father? God. And by agency of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shall overshadow thee and so forth. Okay. But on his mother's side, and here they actually went to his daddy's side, his mother's husband's side, let's say it that way, Joseph. And they start giving the genealogy, and this is how they, he says, you know, he says, we did know Christ after the flesh. This is what they mean by that. They can trace him back all the way, not just to Abraham. They've got him all the way back to Adam. Now, Jesus is called what? He's called the Son of God. I want you to notice this. Starting in verse 23 of Luke 3, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Matt Hat. Okay, that's enough. Anyway, you're hoping I'm not going to read all these, right? All right. But now notice, let's go down to verse 37, because it continues in that vein all the way down here to the end of it. Verse 38, that'll be good. Canaan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Under that first covenant, the one, let's say it a different way, in the flesh, God gave man the ability through procreation to create eternal spirits. Dave has been through this again eloquently on the Born Again Trail. I'm not going to try and reteach all of that. But the way God set it up, he made the first man Adam, then he basically divided Adam. He called them Adam. You remember that? And he says, now you go make people. And so through the operation of the fleshly procreation, they're able to produce human beings. And those, the difference between us and the animal kingdom is that the creatures that we produce, there is a spirit in them. There is a spirit that is created the instant that the first cell divides. There is no time when abortion doesn't kill a baby. Okay, now those babies that are aborted, they go to heaven. They're innocent, you know. That's the good part. But they are really, they're not sons of God, they're sons of men. And that's what it's showing you all the way down through here. We knew Jesus this way. His daddy was the son of, you could take Mary's genealogy and trace it all the way back, the son of son. Now they're talking about him in the flesh. They're not talking about his spirit. They're talking about him in the flesh. But see, in that same passage here, where we were in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, if one died for all, then we judge they were all dead. And I remember that day in that vision where the Lord had me just like a helicopter shot, and it was kind of going further and further out into space, and I could see the whole world. The day, that moment that Jesus gave up the ghost, it is finished, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, and whatever his last breath was, I saw when he slumped on that cross and the breath left him. I saw the whole world covered with dead bodies. And I mean, I knew it was not just those that existed then. It was, you know how visions are. You just know what, you don't know how you know what you know. But I knew it was the whole species of Adam, past, present, and future. In fact, in the very chapter that Mark was teaching about this morning, in Hebrews 9, right near the end of Hebrews 9, it talks about the end of the world. It was the end of the world for the species of Adam. Absolutely did. Now you've got Jesus. Jesus was included in that death. He sailed into our death. He is the captain of our salvation. It's like he got on a ship and he sailed into our death. He died our death. That's why he is called the firstborn from the dead. You talk about identification, becoming one with us. He identified. He became the serpent. He allowed his light to go out. He allowed his nature to die. He became sin. The very thing that he hated, he became it. Why? So that he could be the first of a whole new species of human. This species is not of the flesh. This species is not from the first man, Adam. This species is from the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Go back to Luke 3. Let me show you how your genealogy reads now. Right there near at the end of 38, I would take Michael Muccio, the day he got born again. It wouldn't say that, I don't know who led him to the Lord. Let's say it's Bob. I don't know, Bob. But in the genealogy of heaven, is that okay, genealogy? It won't say Michael Muccio, son of Zig Ziglar. It'll say Michael Muccio, son of God. Michael Muccio came and led Gary Carpenter to the Lord. But in that genealogy, it won't say Gary Carpenter, son of Michael Muccio. It'll say Gary Carpenter, son of God. See, that's why I know there's no such thing as generational curses. Can't be. It's not possible. Now, you may carry things in your soul, strongholds that were put in you. There may be even genetic things that you're going to have to overcome, like the man born blind, okay? But you can overcome that, by the way. Jesus did. But see, there is not, it's not possible for a spiritual curse to be having an effect on you from something your great-great-great-great-granddaddy did. Not in your spirit, because your genealogy only goes back one generation. And I mean, your father is God exactly the same way that Jesus' father in his humanity is God. Now, see, that right there, your brain starts to leak out your left ear right there. What? I know who I am, Gary. I know who I am. Hey, did you follow me around today, Gary? Don't you know I lost my temper? Don't you know I felt discouraged? Don't you know I even told a lie. You know, or whatever it was. And we go, how does that change the word of God? I think I was in the flesh today. Not unless somehow your spirit went back to death. Oh, now that right there was worth the price of admission. If we charge, I think, pass the love bucket here, offering thing. Isn't that good? Love bucket. TV show. Hallelujah. Is that good stuff or what? Now see, when are we going to start getting that mentality? Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John is one of the shortest books in the Bible. Not the shortest, but one of. I also think it's one of the most difficult books in the Bible. Everyone thinks it's easy. I'm still feeding on 1 John. I don't even know. I lost track a long time ago. I remember doing the 30 beans years ago. I don't know whether it's 50 beans now, 100 beans. I don't know how many beans. And I'm still, there's passages of it I don't teach. I may read some of it tonight. You go, what does that mean? I can read you what it says. You know, I can read it, there's still parts of it that I'm chewing on, digesting. Okay? But now, in line with what we just taught, so what does it mean when it says you're in the Spirit? You're born of the last man, Adam. By definition, that's what it is. You're born of the last Adam. We don't know any man after the flesh. See, for a long time I understood that regarding Christians. But see, from God's point of view, they've all died. They've all died. All the way back to Adam, they've all died. The whole species is dead. That's why he can have mercy. And Jesus paid the price for the whole species, and that's why he can have mercy on them all. Hitler? Any of them. He can have mercy. Again, I see Jesus right to the dying breath. I don't care if it was a Mussolini, a Hitler. I don't care how evil that person was. Jeffrey Dahmer. I don't care who it was. Right to the end, I see Jesus holding out that salvation, holding out life, trying to find people that he can send. Right to the end, offering them life. Because he died for that person too. He took the full punishment for that person too. He said, we don't know anybody like that anymore. I'm trying to get that mentality now. In Immokalee, be honest with you, people around in that part of Florida on the west coast, well, it wouldn't matter which coast, it's very touristy. It's really, even though they're going through a terrible recession, still, there's lots of money down there. And Fort Myers and Naples and Cape Coral and all of those areas are, they look down on Immokalee. I don't know how else to put it. Immokalee is not a tourist town. It's not where the sandy beaches are. It's not where the tourists come. It's not where the money is. People don't drive to Immokalee for the fancy restaurants, you know. Immokalee is where the pickers live. This is where the people come from Jamaica and Haiti and Guatemala and Mexico, and they follow the crops. And I mean, you can drive, from 30 miles in every direction, and it's orange groves and tomatoes and watermelons, and that's what it is down there. Well, so the people are very poor. Most of them don't even own a car. I didn't know when we first started going. It woke me up. I'd hear the buses starting like 4 in the morning. I'd hear all these engines starting, and I'd open the window and look out. pull back the shade. And I'd see these buses, and they were always, you know, one would be, they're school buses, but they weren't painted like a yellow, like a school bus. They'd be blue. Another one would be bright red. Another one would be white. I didn't understand that till later. What those are, these people don't have cars. And so they've been hired by various farms. Well, that farm, their color bus is blue. And if you want to go out in the fields and work, you get on the blue bus. And trust me, when it's time to come home, usually at dark, you better get back on the blue bus. You know, otherwise, you might be going to another town, you know. Well, they're very poor. During the harvest time, the population of the city swells to like four times because the pickers are there. Then later, you know, it dwindles. Well, because where you find poverty, that's where you usually find drugs, prostitution, all kinds of illicit activity. So I didn't understand it when we first started going down there, but you'd mention Immokalee in places like Fort Myers, and they'd almost, like a bad taste in their mouth. Yeah, that's a town. Well, where else would God put up a prayer center? See, where else would God call Pastor Bronk and Candy, put up a prayer center, rescue lives, you know? So I'm on this journey, like this morning we was talking about, on this journey where he's trying to conform Gary to the same image. That would mean that he's trying to put in me, when I drive through those streets of Immokalee after dark, which I did on purpose, you can see what's going on the corners. He's trying to put in me the same heart that's in him. How does he see that same person that I'm looking at? The one he's already died for. The one that's not being judged anymore, because all that judgment was already laid on Christ. The one that's dead as a doornail. It's already over. It's already been the end of the world for his species. And what would Christ have in mind for him? The only thing that matters is getting him born again. The only thing that matters, getting born again, well, it's not the only thing. That's the first thing. Then you got to get him filled with the Holy Ghost. Then you got to get him healed. Then you got to on and on and on. See, that's the mind and the heart of Christ. And I'm seeing now this metamorpho, this transformation. For years and years and years, my quest has mostly been for knowledge, because without knowledge, I was taught by my first mentor, and it's true, you're never going to walk at a higher faith level than your actual knowledge of God's Word. Because faith really is just based on what did he say? You know? So, and it's not been wrong. I thank God for the knowledge. But I see that on that journey, he has molded. It's been more than just I'm not the same. My heart is not the same that it was when we came. Just passing out the food in the line the other day at Jason's, just passing out the food, the thoughts that I would have for these people as they'd come by, my heart, what I wanted to do is, I'd see them with bad teeth, you know? I'm thinking, do I have enough money? I wonder if I could afford a dentist for them. Of course, now what would Jesus do? Come here. A greater than Solomon, a greater than the dentist is here, see? That's where we're present. But I can see at least a heart starting to develop in me, you know, and you'd see some of them just reeked of alcohol. I used to. I know what that is. I know what it is to be trapped there, can't get free, you know. Thank God for Jason, though. He'd say, all right, now you know how it is in the line. There'll be no cussing. There'll be no smoking dope. Didn't say they couldn't smoke, and they did. Oh, we didn't do that in the church where I grew up. Well, thank God you're not at that church. You're, again, even tonight, what he's trying to get across to you, you're not a son of Adam. You're not even part of that dead species. In fact, the only reason you're not already either in heaven or we're in that period of the new heaven and the new earth, is because of the drug addicts. See, I could say it that way, or I could also say the rich bankers who are not saved, just as lost, really probably doing more damage. I didn't say that out loud, did I? all of that mortgage stuff, that I knew it was a bubble. I've lived long enough now to see several bubbles. Anytime that anything is on TV for you, it's a bubble. By the time it makes it down to where you're seeing it, this is the best thing to do. Do y'all remember all those commercials that were almost nonstop for 2 or 3 years about refinance your mortgage and buy a house now? I knew it. I'd tell Sue, I said, it's a bubble. It's going to collapse. I don't know when it'll be. Sure enough, well, I'll leave it to you to see what's on TV now. Okay. Okay. 1 John chapter 3. I had such a good time this morning. I love it when you have no idea where you're going at all, and I'm hanging on to his coattail with everything. Oh, God, oh, God. Where are we going? Now, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, I'm reminding again of that genealogy. It won't say Michael Muccio, the son of Zig Ziglar. Zig led him to the Lord. It won't say Gary Carpenter, the son of Michael Muccio. No. It's Michael Muccio, son of God. Gary Carpenter, son of God. Daisy Black, female, son of God. See, we're all, in the same way that he called them Adam, he calls us heirs, sons. We're women, you're just as much an heir of God as any man. Now, our roles to fulfill are different while we're here, and we could get into that. But when it comes to your inheritance, yeah, praise God. So that's what it's talking about when it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Hold your place there. Go back to the big John. He's showing you, John is showing you, he's the one that wrote both of these. John, he wrote big John and verse John. He is on purpose reminding you of the first one. Now, what's the one that comes first? The Gospel of John. Now, notice. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, I said all that to get to verse 10. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now, he's reminding you of that over here. Go back to little John, 1 John, the John that comes second. I can't help it. There's a party going on in here all the time. I just let you all in on it once in a while. This is what he means. He says, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world thinks you're still just like them. They think you're just, what are you talking about, born again? I see some TV shows and they're just, oh, are you one of those born again Christians? You say, yes, as a matter of fact, I am. Okay. Beloved, someday in the future when we get to the millennium, we shall be the sons of God. No? Is that what yours says? You do know I'm back in 1 John, right? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I just double dog dare you at your next family reunion. I came to visit you, and I came to honor my family, you know, honor your mother and father, and it's nice to be with y'all, but I'm really not of this family anymore. I'm really not, don't do this. What family are you of now? Well, I'm God's son. You're a son of God? Actually, I am. Now, you could take them, I'm telling you, you can take them and put their nose right in your Bible, probably their own Bible from their car. May have to go to their house and get it off the coffee table. Where it says, now we are the sons of God. And you say, see, I'm a son of God. And they'll go, when you get to heaven. They'll fight you on it, the real concept of it. And the devil will fight you on it. God forbid we ever find out who we really are. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. You don't have your glorified body yet. We have Jesus to look at. We know he has his. I'm looking forward to the day when I get mine. I want to eat a fish and walk through the wall and find out whether the fish slides down the wall. I know it won't. The fish gets glorified somehow. I'm looking forward to a glorified body. One that even the body doesn't want to sin. See, I can't comprehend that. But anyway, I can comprehend because the word says it. But now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now see, verse 3. This is the journey that we're on right here. Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Okay, when he does that, now I got to go into macro mode. I'm going to remind you of this morning's message. I look around this room. I don't see the mayor. I don't see the governor. I don't see uppity-ups from religion. There's no big wigs, not many mighty, not many noble. And that's what Jesus said would happen. I'm looking around this room, and in my sight, what I see are champions. You're all like, I look at the men, and we're like warriors. And the women, you're like Xena, the warrior princess, you know. You may feel like Chicken Little, but you're champions to have survived even this long. I know most of you. I know your history. I know some real things that some of us have been through. And why are you still here? You have that hope in you. You're still in the process of purifying yourself. Now, you can't really purify yourself by your own efforts. But this is why he gave us the Holy Ghost. He didn't give you the Holy Ghost because you're so holy. Do you know religion used to teach that? Yeah, there was salvation, sanctification, then the Holy Ghost. Like you could only get the Holy Ghost after you were already holy. Didn't the law prove for how many years that that's not possible? You know? How many centuries? No. He made a holy of holies in you. In your spirit. He that new man on that new creature on the inside of you, God created it as a gift. And that new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. If you want to know the truth, that is the holy of holies on the inside of you. And it's a place where the Holy Spirit can now come and dwell. See? But you're in the process. One of the main reasons that the Holy Spirit is there is not because you are so holy. He's in the process of bringing that holy nature from the inside to the outside, bringing it to the forefront, bringing it to where we walk as the sons of God that we truly are. Well, I'm so thankful again for the day that Sue and I walked through the doors of the prayer center. I knew forever I needed to walk in more holiness. I knew I needed to walk in more love. I knew I needed to walk in more faith. For the love of God, can somebody tell me how? Until I met Dave. Michael, he helped us a little bit. He knew to pray, you know, pray in other tongues more than anybody I'd ever heard of. But Michael, in those, he didn't have the revelation of it like Dave has. He knew some. He knows more now. I thank God for the praying in tongues that he made me do. He made me. Look at him. He made me. Would not let me go with him to the prison unless I went and prayed 2 hours in other tongues. That sounded easy. You know, couldn't go unless you went and prayed. But now, he that has this hope in him purifies himself. going back again to this morning's message, there is stuff I'm dealing with. Let's just take gluttony, because that's easy to say. I can't hide that one anyhow. I eat too much. I like to eat. I've been on every diet on planet Earth, plus two or three I invented myself. I've been up and down like a... You ought to see, I have my fat pants, my skinny pants, my in-between pants. I'm right at... Don't ask me which ones I'm wearing tonight, but anyway. Then there's the almost extreme gross out-of-bounds pants. I haven't bought those yet, but I'm close. You know? You know? I don't know how else to put it. I was just trying to... I'm picking on myself, so it'd be nice to you. Is that okay? Now, the thing of it is, see, I've had this tendency all my life. I was always the new fat kid in town. That's part of why we fought when I was... I've always had this tendency. And my life is a yo-yo, up and down and up. That's why I had them skinny pants. I could wear them for a week or two, a little while. Then soon as I relax, soon as I... honey, where'd you put those other pants? Those larger ones? And it seems like whenever, see, there's something in Gary still that when I just relax and I don't keep the pressure on, I go back to it. See, I don't think Jesus was a glutton. I don't think there's anything in him that is a glutton. I don't think there's anything in my spirit that is a glutton. So what's happening now, he and I have been through umpteen strong, I don't know how many strongholds already. You all know about some of them, the smoking and other things that I've been purged of. You know, going back to the beginning, alcohol and pornography. There's been lots of strongholds, lots of things gone. And all, to be honest with you, I've carried this stronghold my whole life. It didn't bother me nearly as bad as it's bothering me right now. I mean, I'm getting so angry. I'm getting so I hate it. I didn't catch on to what it was. I didn't catch on at first. And I was, all kinds of reasonings come into your mind. This just isn't working. Man, I've been at this how many years, and I feel worse now than I did, you know, before. And look at me. I can't even, you know, I'm the guy in Romans 7. The thing I'm not going to eat, I wind up eating it. And then the broccoli that Michael tells me to eat, I don't wind up eating that. And, you know, I'm that guy. You know, I start thinking, I'm not really changed. I'm still in the flesh. That's the tendency. Pretty soon, if you keep going down that path, you let the devil keep on with those reasonings, you're scooching closer to the door. And one day you'll be gone, along with the thousands that have left before you. All right? So what he's doing now, he finally reminded me, thank God, I saw myself driving across that bridge again. I remember that day. That third day, like I described this morning, when I knew I was saved. I mean, the grass was greener, the sky was bluer, the Arkansas was the most beautiful river ever made. Those scrub oak hills had to be the mountains of Zion. It was so, and his fellowship, man, nothing on earth will ever convince me he didn't love me. And he reminded me, you had that stronghold in you then. You've had it in you since you was a little boy. Now, in my soul, there's something there. He's going, all that's happened now, you've prayed, the message is working. It's doing exactly what you've been preaching. This one, that's something that you've carried from a child, something that's still in your, it's not in your spirit. It's not in that new man. It's a carryover. It's a holdover from my Adamic thinking, the brought over from that old life. And he says, what's happened now? Just like Pastor Dave said, you've prayed. And now it's bubbled to the surface, and it's the black dross, and you're seeing it for what it really is and how ungodly it really is. And you're starting to hate it like I hate it. Don't stop praying now. Keep praying. Keep doing this message, because you're getting close. And when you hate it as much as I hate it, that's what I need to remove it out of your life. You'll never have that problem again. It's not hard to be thin when that's what you are. Isn't that true? Doesn't that follow right along with, it's not hard to love when that's what you are? It's not hard to be thin when that's who I am. Well, my true nature, the one I got from my real daddy, my daddy now, there's no gluttony in him. That new man on the inside of me, he's not a glutton. So the last thing that, and said, boy, the pressure's been tough. Now, I'm pretty good at not showing it, but the pressure's been tough. You're probably pretty good at not showing it, too. You've survived a long time here. Your pressure's been, and reasonings. Boy, those reasonings, they just sound so right. And then finally, thank God for this, the Holy Ghost. He finally shook me and showed me that picture of me on that bridge. And he's going, what, I love you less now? You have less strongholds now than you had that day on the bridge. How many of them have we already dealt with? And I'm going, a whole bunch. Well, you think I love you less because you're dealing with this one now? Come on. Keep praying. Keep that hope in you. Keep doing the process where you purify yourself. Amen? Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah, hallelujah.